بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the third matter which invalidates a person's Islam. And the author, rahimullah, said, النَّاقِضْ الثَّالِثْ, the third invalidator is مَنْ لَمْ يُكَفِّرْ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, a person who does not consider the mushrikun to be disbelievers. أَوْ شَكَّ فِي كُفْرِهِمْ, or he doubts their kufr, their disbelief. أَوْ صَحَّهَ مَذْهَبُهُمْ, or he validates their religion, kafir. This person has left the fold of al-Islam. So it is an obligation upon a Muslim to consider anybody and everybody who Allah and His Messenger consider to be kuffar, that we have to also hold them to be kuffar. Anybody whom Allah and His Messenger made takfir of, the Muslim has to also make takfir of them. Otherwise, this person is rejecting the revelation from the Quran and the Sunnah. So for example, we find in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made takfir of various groups of people. So those people who worship idols and deities besides Allah, Allah made takfir of them. He called them kuffar. And He told us that their final abode is Jahannam. And therefore we as Muslims who believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book and the sunnah have to also believe that they are disbelievers, kuffar. And also Allah in the Quran, He mentioned that those who believe in some of the messengers and they reject other messengers are kuffar. So we have to believe that they are kuffar. And also al-Yahud wa al-Nasara in the Quran and in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, takfir was made of them. And therefore we have to also make takfir of them. So for example, Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ, that those people who said Allah is al-Masih ibn Maryam, I those people who gave divinity to Isa ibn Maryam, Allah said, لَقَدْ كَفَرُوا, or لَقَدْ كَفَرَ, those people have disbelieved. Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ, those people who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers, وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ, and they want to differentiate between Allah and His messengers. وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ, and they say, we believe in some of the messengers and we reject others amongst the messengers. Towards the end of this ayah, Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا, that those people, they are the true disbelievers, the people of Al-Kufr. And also Allah said about Al-Yahud, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةً, the Yahud, they said that the hand of Allah is tied. غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, may their hands be tied. Allah said, وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا, and they were cursed because of that which they said. So the point is that there are many texts from the Quran and from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam which are very clear and direct in takfir of these groups and other groups and people. As I mentioned, those who worship the idols, Allah made takfir of them. An-Nasara, Allah made takfir of them. Al-Yahud, Allah made takfir of them. Those who differentiate between some of the messengers, they accept some and they reject others, like the Yahud. They say, we accept Musa, but we don't accept Isa and Muhammad, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Allah made takfir of them. And so us as Muslims, we have to also make takfir of them. So if a person doesn't make takfir of the mushrikeen or the Yahud or the Nasara or these types of people, then he is rejecting the Quran and the Sunnah. So Allah tells us in an ayah that the Yahud or the Nasara are kuffar and the final abode is Jahannam. And a person says, no, I believe that they are upon the correct way. or I don't believe that they are kuffar. This is a clear rejection of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And whoever clearly rejects the Qur'an and the Sunnah, then he is a kafir himself. So he said, مَنْ لَمْ يُكَفِّرْ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, that whoever does not consider the mushrikun to be kuffar, kafir. Then he said, أَوْ شَكَّ فِي كُفْرِهِمْ, or the one who doubts their kufr. So for example, a person says, I'm not going to say that they are Muslims, but at the same time, I'm not sure if they are disbelievers. So even a person who doubts in their kufr, then he has also left the fold of Al-Islam. Why? Because this person is hesitant and doubtful in his religion. And we know that when it comes to Iman and Kufr, a person cannot be hesitant or doubtful. And this was the way of the Munafiqeen. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. In their heart is the disease, i.e. the disease of doubt, and Allah increases them in their disease. So not only do we not make takfir of the mushrikun, neither are we allowed to doubt their takfir. So we're not allowed to say, okay, I won't say that they're Muslims, but at the same time I don't want to say that they are kuffar. We have to make takfir of them, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made takfir of them. Then he said, أَوْ صَحَّحَ مَذْهَبَهُمْ, or a person actually validates their religion, considers them upon the truth. And this is more evil. This is even worse. The first one didn't make takfir of them. The second one doubted their takfir. The third one actually validates their religion and considers them to be upon the truth. So anybody who validates their religion or defends their religion or defends their right to worship others besides Allah, and that they have a freedom to worship others besides Allah, then this one is also kufr. This is also clear disbelief. And this is present today. So this invalidator which the author mentioned, it wasn't something which is just hypothetical. Rather, now it applies to us. Because now there is a movement amongst some people who claim Islam called Wahdatul Adiyan, unity of the religions, or Taqrib al-Adiyan, or bringing the religions close to each other. And they will say that the followers of Nasraniya and Yahudiya and Al-Islam, i.e. the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians, all of them believe in Allah. All of them believe in God. And all of them are monotheistic religions. And all of them come from Ibrahim alayhi salam. And each one of them is following their own prophet. So the Jews are following Musa, and the Christians are following Isa, and the Muslims are following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore all of them and all of their religions are correct. And so therefore the religions should be united, and the religions should be brought close together, and each one has the freedom to choose any one of these prophets. So there is this thought and this movement amongst some of those people who claim to be Muslims. They say that these three religions, all of them came from Ibrahim. And all of them believe in Allah. So the Yahud believe in Allah, they believe in a one God. And the Christians believe in Allah, i.e. they believe in a one God. And the Muslims also believe in Allah. And each one of them is following their own prophet. So what's the problem? And this is also kufr. Because this is like the one, أَوْ صَحَّهَ مَذْهَبَهُمْ, that he is validating their religion, defending their religion, giving them the right to be upon their religion. And Allah obligates upon every single person to worship Him alone and to reject the false deities. And also the fact that the argument that each one of them is following their prophet, even this is not correct. Because if they were truly following Musa alayhi salam, they would believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If they were truly following Isa alayhi salam, they would believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because both Musa and Isa alayhim as-salam, both of them gave the glad tidings of the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is in the Quran a lot. Allah said, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّي, those people who follow the messenger, the prophet, the unlettered one, i.e. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, they find his name mentioned in the Torah and the Injil.
So the scholars and the rabbis from the Yahud and the Nasara, they knew of the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Isa said to his people, Ya Bani Israel, O Bani Israel, Inni Rasulullah ilaykum. Verily, I am a messenger to you. Musaddiqan lima bayna yadayya min at-Tawrat. And I affirm that which has come to you from the Tawrat. And then he said, Wa mubashiran bi rasulin ya'ti min ba'd ismuhu Ahmad. And I give you the glad tidings of a messenger who will come after me, and his name is Ahmad, meaning Muhammad. So the Jews and the Christians, if they were truly following Musa and Isa alayhim as-salam, then they would follow and accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So even this claim that all three religions, they believe in Allah, and then they believe in and they accept and they follow the Prophet, so what's wrong with them? Even this claim and this argument, it is not correct nor is it justified. So whoever Allah and his messenger considered to be kuffar and made takfir of them, then we have to also consider to be kuffar and we have to make takfir of them. And if a person believes in Allah and he accepts a tawheed and he doesn't do a shirk and he believes in Isa alayhi salam and if truly follows the way of Isa alayhi salam, so this person believes in Allah, accepts at-tawheed, doesn't do a shirk, follows Isa alayhi salam, believes Isa alayhi salam is a messenger and not the son of God. If a person believed in all of this but didn't follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then that person is a kafir. In fact, even when Isa alayhi salam will return to the earth before Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will come and implement the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will not implement the Sharia of the Injil, because the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it has abrogated all of the previous Shara'i', all of the previous legislations. So even if a person hypothetically believes in Allah, believes in At-Tawheed, does not do a shirk, worships Allah, believes that Isa is the messenger of Allah and he's not the son of Allah, and he follows Isa, but then he doesn't accept the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has not accepted Islam and he is upon al-kufr. Never mind the Jews and the Christians who insult the Prophet and the companions, and they fought against the Prophet and the companions, and they attribute a son to God, and they say bad things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is clear kufr. So a Muslim has to make takfir of every and each person and each group whom Allah and His Messenger made takfir of. Now there are certain rulings which result from us considering al-Yahud wal-Nasara to be kuffar and the Mushrikun to be kuffar. The first of these rulings is that there has to be a hatred and animosity for the kufr which they have in them. So a part of making takfir of the kuffar is hating the kufr which they are upon and not having alliances with them and having an animosity towards them due to the kufr which they are upon. And this is why Allah did not permit the Muslims to take the kuffar to be awliya, to be supporters and helpers, people in which there is love and affection. This isn't allowed between a person of tawheed and a person of a shirk. Because Allah said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhu aduwwi wa aduwwakum awliya. O people of Iman, do not take my enemies and your enemies to be awliya, to be friends and supporters and people of love and affection. Tulquna ilayhim bil mawadda, you show love to them. Wa qad kafaru bima ja'akum min al haqq, and they have disbelieved and rejected the truth which has come to you. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forbade us from taking His enemies and our enemies, i.e. the enemies of Islam, i.e. the people of kufr, to be awliya. And the awliya are the supporters, the helpers, the friends, the guardians, people of love and affection. And Allah said, تلقون إليهم بالمودة, that you show love and affection to them. وقد كفروا بما جاءكم الحق, and yet they rejected and they disbelieved in the truth which has come to you. So this is the first thing which is obligated upon us if we, when we hold the kuffar to be kuffar, that we have to have hatred towards the kuffar and the actions which they are doing, and there is an animosity between us and them in terms of the kuffar which they have. And this doesn't mean that we have personal grudges against individuals who are from the non-Muslims. This doesn't mean this. So we don't have a personal grudge against anybody who doesn't show any injustice and who doesn't oppress us. But at the same time, we don't have love and affection and support and friendship for the people of kufr. Rather, there has to be a hatred in the heart due to the kufr which they are upon. The second matter which is necessitated from making takfir of them is that if the mushrik or the kafir dies, then it isn't permitted for the Muslim to pray a janazah over the kafir. And neither does the Muslim wash them, nor shroud them, nor be present at the janazah. Neither is the kafir buried in the graveyard of the Muslim. And the body of the kafir isn't carried, and the janazah procession isn't followed, and the grave is not dug by the Muslims for the kuffar. Neither is dua made for them after they have died, or istighfar made for them after they have died, and there is no salatul janazah. None of this is permitted. And there is only one exception to this. And the exception is if there is nobody amongst the kuffar who will bury a non-Muslim, then the Muslims will bury the non-Muslim. And that is only the burial. The grave is dug and the non-Muslim is buried in that grave, and then the soil is put back on the grave. This is permitted only when there is no other non-Muslim to fulfill the burial. But as for following their processions and taking part in their funerals and their funeral processions and their burying and other matters which are attached to this, it is not permitted. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ, do not pray upon anybody amongst them. مَاتَ أَبَدًا, who has died. وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ, and do not stand at his grave. إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, because they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. And also it isn't permitted for a Muslim to visit the graveyard of the non-Muslims except with one situation, one intention. And that intention is only to be reminded about death and take an admonishment about the Akhirah. So now it is permitted. When a person goes to visit a graveyard, he goes with a number of intentions. The first intention is that it is a reminder for you regarding death and the Akhirah. And secondly, to make dua and istighfar for the people in the graveyard. And thirdly, attached with this is to make istighfar for yourself when you're making istighfar for the deceased person. So when visiting a Muslim deceased, you go to remind yourself of the Akhirah and make forgiveness for the deceased and make forgiveness for yourself. And when visiting the grave of a non-Muslim or the non-Muslim graveyard, then you only do it with the intention of reminding yourself of the Akhirah and not to make dua or seek forgiveness for them. The third matter which is necessitated from this is that a Muslim does not inherit from a non-Muslim and a non-Muslim does not inherit from a Muslim. Like in the hadith of Usamah ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Muslimu la yarithul kafir, wal-kafiru la yarithul muslim. The Muslim does not inherit the kafir, and the kafir does not inherit the Muslim. So the ulama, in the science of al-fara'id, the laws of inheritance, when they talk about those things which prevent inheritance being passed from one relative to another relative, they mention al-kufr. Al-kufr is min mawani' al-irth. Al-kufr is from those matters which prevent inheritance between their relatives. Fourthly, it isn't allowed for a kafir, i.e. a male kafir, to be married to a Muslim woman. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا وَلَا عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ. Allah said in the Quran, and do not marry your women, the believing women, to the mushrikeen until they accept iman. So if the mushrikeen or the Jews or the Christians, if they accept iman, then it is permitted. He said, وَلَا عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ. And the believing man is better than a mushrik man, even if that mushrik man pleases you. The believing man is always better. As for a believing man marrying a non-Muslim woman, then there are certain conditions. The first condition is, it isn't allowed for a Muslim man to marry a mushrikatun, a mushrik woman, or a mulhida, or an atheist. This is not permitted. Because Allah said in the Quran, in the same ayah, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. And do not marry the mushrik women until they believe. وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ. And the believing woman is better than the mushrik woman, even if she pleases you. So that's the first condition. Now, with regards to a Muslim man marrying a non-Muslim woman, she cannot be a mushrika, and neither can she be a mulhida, i.e. somebody who is an atheist or rejects the notion of a god. Secondly, it is allowed for a Muslim man to marry a Jew or a Christian woman with conditions. The first condition is she has to be a Jew or a Christian. The second condition is she has to be afifa. And the meaning of afifa is that she has to be chaste, a person of modesty, a person of morality, not an immoral woman. So a woman who has affairs or boyfriends, she is an adulteress, she sleeps with men, like the practices of the kuffar today, this is not permitted for the Muslim man. Only if she is a Jew and a Christian in truth, and secondly, she's afifa. And Allah said in the Quran, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. He said, and the chaste women amongst the believers, and the chaste women amongst those who were given the book before you, they are permitted to marry. And why is it that it is allowed for the Muslim woman, it is allowed for the Muslim man to marry the Jewish or the Christian woman who is chaste, but it isn't allowed for the Muslim woman to marry the non-Muslim man because of authority? So in our family structure, and also in Islam, the man and the husband has authority over the woman, and the woman is subservient to the man. So if she's a Jew and a Jewish or a Christian woman, and she's a person of modesty and humbleness and chastity, then she'll be under the authority of her husband. Maybe she will accept al-Islam, and the children will remain under the authority of the husband, the Muslim man. But the other way around, if it is the non-Muslim man who has authority and the Muslim woman is subservient to him, then maybe she will leave the religion of al-Islam, or he will force the children to be upon al-Kufr. And this is the reason why this ruling is there. The next matter, the fifth matter, is al-hijrah. That from those matters which are necessitated from making takfir of the kuffar is the Muslims are obligated to migrate from the lands of the kuffar if they are not able to practice their religion. If they are not able to openly practice their religion. And secondly, if they have the ability to make al-hijrah. So these two conditions the ulama have mentioned. Now, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he mentions these two conditions. Firstly, that you're living in the lands of the kuffar and they prevent you from openly practicing your religion. So they prevent you from salah, they prevent you from the building of the masajid, they prevent you from jum'ah, they prevent the Muslim women from wearing the hijab, and matters like this. And secondly, then you have the ability to make al-hijrah. If these two conditions are fulfilled, then you have to make al-hijrah. And Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, those people to whom the angels gave death, ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and they were oppressing themselves, meaning they were oppressing themselves by not making hijrah. قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ, the angels will say to them, where were you? Meaning, why did you not make hijrah? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضَعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, they said that we were weak upon the earth. قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا, it will be said to them, was the earth of Allah not vast and spacious enough for you to make hijrah, for you to migrate so you can worship Allah? And then in the second part of this ayah, Allah said, then after that he said, أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَأَتْ مَسِيرًا, those people, their final abode is Jahannam and such an evil abode. And then Allah said in the next ayah, إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضَعْفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ, except the weak ones amongst the men and the women and the children, i.e. those who truly didn't have the ability to make al-hijrah. The sixth matter which is necessitated from this is that it isn't permitted for a believer to initiate the greeting of salam to the disbeliever. And this is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, لا تبدأ اليهود والنصارى بالسلام, do not initiate the salam, ay assalamu alaykum, the greeting of salam to the Yahud wal Nasara. وَإِن سَلَّمُوا فَقُولُوا وَعَلَيْكُمْ, however, if they give you the salam, say وَعَلَيْكُمْ. The seventh matter is that the kuffar are not permitted to enter into the haram. And the haram is that sacred area around Masjid al-Haram and around or in Al-Madinah. So they are not permitted to enter into the Al-Haram. The eighth matter is that they are exiled from Jazirat al-Arab, the Arabian Peninsula. They are not allowed to reside and remain in the Arabian Peninsula permanently. And this is found in a number of ahadith. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أخرج اليهود والنصارى من جزيرة العرب, exile the Jews and the Christians from Jazirat al-Arab. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا يكون في جزيرة العرب دينان, that two religions cannot be found in Jazirat al-Arab, meaning Islam and Kufr cannot be found in Jazirat al-Arab, only al-Islam. Why? Because Jazirat al-Arab, the Arabian Peninsula, this is where Islam came from. And this is the origins of al-Islam. And this is where the message of Islam, it emanated from. And therefore it isn't permitted for the Yahud and the Nasara to have permanent residence in Jazirat al-Arab. However, it is permitted for them to travel to it, to work in there, to have a temporary residence. This is permitted. And this is found in the during the Khilafah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. Also, it isn't allowed for them to openly practice their kufr. So the building of churches and the building of synagogues and the building of the Hindu temple, things like this, this is not permitted. However, they are allowed to be upon their religion and do their acts of worship in their temporary places of residence, which is between them. As for spreading their kufr and building churches and calling people to kufr, then this is not permitted in Jazirat al-Arab. The next matter, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he mentions, is that it isn't permitted for the Muslims to be praising the kuffar. Why? Because they are enemies of Allah and His Messenger. And Allah and His Messenger condemned them and called them kuffar and mentioned the punishment which is upon them. So how is it correct for a Muslim to then praise them? So for example, it's not allowed for us to say that the kuffar are more honest than the Muslims, the kuffar are more trustworthy than the Muslims, even if some of them are more honest and more trustworthy in matters of the dunya, because they want to make money, and they know that if you're there on time, you make money. If you fill your promises, you make money. If you present your shop in a nice way, you make money. If some of them are better than some of the Muslims in this, it doesn't mean that they are better than the Muslims. So the Muslim, regardless of how many sins he has, is better than the kafir. because the kafir does not believe in Allah and His Messenger at all. The Muslim believes in Allah and His Messenger and then has some shortcomings. So it isn't allowed for us to praise them and love them and adore them and mention their good points. Rather, they are enemies to Allah and His Messenger, and then we hold them to be enemies to Allah and His Messenger. Also, when you find Muslims constantly adoring and praising the kuffar and always mentioning their good points and always putting the Muslims down in comparison to the kuffar, this leads to an inferiority complex in the hearts and the minds of the Muslims. And this is why many Muslims, they belittle their own culture and they belittle their communities and they adore and they praise so much the culture of the non-Muslims. So, as I mentioned, the Muslim is more beloved to Allah and is better upon this earth than the non-Muslim, regardless of how honest the non-Muslim is in his business dealings and how bad the Muslim is. And also, from those matters which are necessitated from this is that it isn't allowed for the Muslim to imitate the kuffar in that which is specific to them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fa'innahu minhum," that whoever resembles a group of people, he's from them. And the ulama, they mention that it isn't allowed for a Muslim to copy, imitate, to resemble the kuffar in matters which are exclusive to them and specific to them, and they are known by this thing, even in the matters of the dunya. So for example, if the kuffar have a particular type of clothing, and this clothing is exclusive to them, no Muslim wears this type of clothing, it isn't allowed for the Muslim to imitate them. For example, some of the kuffar, they dress as Gothics. You know, when they wear all black, and some of them, then they wear white makeup, for example, and they wear black gloves, and they wear a long black jacket, and they wear certain types of chains. And this is exclusive to them. For example, the non-Muslims, from those hairstyles which is exclusive to them, is the Mohican and other types of hairstyles. Also, there are certain festivals which are exclusive to them, like Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, and matters like this. These matters have nothing to do with their religion. Christmas, Easter, this has a religious basis. This is going towards kufr. These other matters are restricted to the dunya. However, a part of us making takfir of them is staying away from these clothes and these appearances, these hairstyles, these practices, these cultures, these days and festivals which are exclusive and specific to them. As for those matters which are common between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, there's no problem in this. So for example, the wearing of shirts and trousers is common between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. The kuffar are not known by wearing trousers, for example. Using technology, driving cars, using mobile phones, this isn't specific and exclusive to them. And even if there was, for example, an awareness day to raise awareness about cancer or a particular type of knowledge, then this isn't exclusive to them. So those matters which are common and shared between the Muslims and the kuffar, then there's nothing wrong with this. And then finally, there are certain matters which are permitted between the Muslims and the kuffar. And the first of them is interacting with the kuffar, dealing with them, buying and selling from them, taking loans from them and giving them loans, mortgaging an item or securing a loan with an item. All of this is permitted. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even when he died, he had a shield which was mortgaged with a Yahudi for a loan which he had taken. So buying and selling and giving loans, taking loans, trading with them, interacting with them, and having relationships with them to this level, all of it is permitted. Employing them, being employed under them, all of this is permitted. Secondly, it is permitted for the Muslim to visit the non-Muslim. So if they are ill, you can go and visit them, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with the Jewish boy. If one of the relatives passes away, you're allowed to go to the house of the relatives to console them and to, especially if it contains da'wah to Islam and da'wah to patience, this is permitted. Also, it is upon the Muslim to fulfill the rights of the non-Muslims, that you protect their lives, you protect their properties, you protect, you deal with them in justice, you deal with them in fairness. All of this is permitted, rather obligated. Also, it is allowed for a Muslim to have treaties and agreements or contracts with the non-Muslims. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a peace treaty between the Muslims of Al-Madinah and the Yahud of Al-Madinah. The three tribes of Yahud in Al-Madinah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a peace treaty with them. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had a peace treaty with the Mushrikun of the Quraysh in Al-Hudaybiyah. So if this treaty, this agreement, if it brings benefit or security and safety or peace to the Muslims, it is permitted. Also, it is allowed for the Muslim to, or rather permitted and encouraged for the Muslim to show goodness to the non-Muslims in terms of generosity, kindness, dealing with them in a respectful manner, giving them charity. If they show you goodness, you reciprocate this goodness and you show them further goodness. If they give you a gift, you reply with a gift, making dua that they accept Islam and Allah guides them. All of this is encouraged. And Allah said in the Quran, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah does not prevent you from those people who do not fight you in your religion. وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. And they have not exiled you from your lands. أَنْتَبَرُّوهُمْ. That you show them birr. And birr is goodness, kindness, obedience. وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. And that you show them justice and fairness. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. And Allah loves the people who have justice. So, giving charity to a non-Muslim is permitted with two conditions. The first condition is that the non-Muslim who you are giving charity to, they are not fighting you, they are not at war with you, and they have not exiled you from your lands. Secondly, they are not going to use this charity against the Muslims. Then, as Allah mentions, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah does not forbid you, He said, أَن تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. That you show goodness to them, and then you deal with them in justice. And also, showing obedience to non-Muslim parents, as long as they don't order you with shirk and kufr. And Allah said in the Quran, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Allah said, and if they force you to commit shirk with me for which you have no knowledge, then do not obey them. And then he said, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. However, live with them in this dunya in a good way. So relatives, parents, siblings who are non-Muslim, you have relations with them, and you have natural love and affection to them because they are your relatives and this is the nature of a person. You show obedience to them as long as they don't order you with kufr or disobedience. If they order you with kufr and disobedience, you don't obey them, but you live with them in a good way. And also, the mother of Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, she came to her and she wanted the wealth of her. And she went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, "Inna ummi ja'at wa hiya raghibatun." That my mother has come and she desires to meet me. Afa asiluha? Should I keep the ties of kinship with her? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Na'am sili ummiki." Sili ummaki. He said, "Yes, keep the ties of kinship with your mother. I give wealth to her, give charity to her." So these matters are all permitted. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.